Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4, beginning this morning in verse 23. And while you are finding that, I have a couple of announcements to make. One is that we're going to have a meeting immediately after the service this morning, right up in the front here, for all of you who have signed up to run one of the games at the carnival tomorrow night. Okay, we just want to go through that so everybody knows where they'll be and what they're going to be doing. So if you would meet up front here at the conclusion of the service, that would be great. The other thing is that we've had an announcement in the bulletin about the fact that we are going to be offering Bibles to the families who are going to be coming tomorrow night. And these are those Bibles. There's a children's Bible, which is just full of all kinds of, not only pictures, but of information in the margins about the places that the story is talking about or certain things that pertain to the story that they're reading, which is just a beautiful Bible. And that is available to people for only $6. The cost has been partially underwritten. And then there's the Family Bible, which is just wonderful. It has most of the same things that the Children's Bible does in terms of illustrations and lots of information, but it also uses the majority of just basically the NIV text. The story is edited slightly, but the majority of the text is the straight NIV text. So it's a wonderful Bible. And I have placed a sign-up sheet on the table in the back of the narthex there. If you would like to sponsor a particular family for one of these Bibles. These Bibles are so nice that I want one myself, okay? And you probably do too. And we tried to order a lot of them. Right now we have 25 of each. But I would ask you first, before we get one for ourselves or that kind of thing, to wait until after tomorrow night so that we can give these Bibles to as many families that don't have a Bible as possible, and then we'll order more. If we need to, for ourselves, okay? But if you'd like to sponsor a family, maybe, or a child, we'd like to stay with one per family, not one per child, because of the limited number. But if you have grown close to a particular child or family in the weeks that we have been doing Marvelous Mondays, if you've been there, then that'd be a wonderful opportunity for you to sponsor them that $6 or $8. This is $8, $6. And present it to them tomorrow night, or if you haven't been there but you still want to help that way, go ahead and sign your name to the sheet and indicate how many families you would like to support for a Bible. All right. Matthew chapter 4. This is a third in a series that we're doing here in the second half of Matthew 4. And going into Matthew chapter 5, beginning this morning in verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Let's pray. Lord, we do come to you, and we ask that our heart would be changed and that it would be renewed. And we pray, Lord, that it would be renewed by your word. And so we pray, Lord, that you would open our ears and our hearts to your word. I pray, Father, that you would open my mouth, that you would touch it, and that the words that come out would be your words, and that they would be powerful, that they would be empowered by your Spirit for the sake of your kingdom. Amen. Have you ever noticed that for every minor affliction in this world, there's dozens of home remedies for them? You know, a home remedy is kind of a do-it-yourself kind of healing process, and you use just stuff that you have around the house to try to get rid of whatever it is that ails you. Seems that for every minor little affliction, there's a host of different home remedies to try to get rid of it. It doesn't seem as though there's any limit to the number of ways people have come up with to try to alleviate the pain or discomfort that they're feeling with whatever it is that they have. I was looking up home remedies this week on the internet, and some of the wildest ones I could find. And it makes sense that the wilder remedies go with those problems that are the most persistent, doesn't it? You're willing to do more because the problem just keeps coming back. Some of the wilder home remedies I found were designed to alleviate acne. And that makes sense, because there's nothing more frustrating for a young person than to be dealing with acne over and over again, right? One girl advocated the warm breakfast cereal approach. She said, a couple times a week, I take some oatmeal, about 3/4 of a cup, and enough water to moisten the oatmeal, and I put it in the blender. I put this on my face for about 15 minutes, and I rinse with cool water. It's important not to use too much water, she said, or else it will run down your face. Another girl's remedy was a bit more elaborate. Use 1 cup of milk and 4 tablespoons of salt. Mix together in bowl with 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise. Use blender to blend 1 cup of oatmeal with 2 strawberries. Mix the oatmeal and strawberries with the salt, milk, and mayonnaise. Apply this as a facial mask for about 20 minutes. Let harden. Keep it away from linens, but it won't hurt if some gets in your hair, she said. But Ronnie's idea was my favorite. Ronnie said, slice off thin slices of a fresh potato and rub the freshly sliced area over your face or irritated skin. Do not rinse. Effects will be felt immediately. I have no doubt about that. Keep potato in refrigerator after initial slicing, and you will get many uses out of it. Hopefully none of them having to do with dinner. Home remedies can be kind of funny. It can be kind of funny to see the lengths to which people will go to try to alleviate some malady that they have, some discomfort that they have. But home remedies are only really funny when the problem that they're designed to deal with isn't all that serious. It's not that acne isn't serious to a teenager. In its own way, it is. But it's not even in the same league as something like, say, cancer or emphysema or AIDS. It wouldn't be at all funny for me to read home remedies for those kinds of things, would it? To describe a picture of someone bathing themselves in what most people eat for breakfast because they thought it was going to take away what was killing them. Wouldn't be funny anymore. Because we all know 2 things, that those diseases are much more serious than something like acne. Acne might keep coming back over and over again, but it's not going to kill you. Those diseases are different because they will kill you. But we also know that those diseases are beyond home remedies. Those kinds of things you can't cure yourself. They're beyond the do-it-yourself approach. You can't fix those kinds of things with stuff that you have around the house. And so to read some kind of description of someone with a disease like that, with someone who has something that is going to kill them, trying to concoct some way of fixing it that's not going to work, describing that situation wouldn't be funny. It'd be troubling. And for anybody not to see that, we would wonder what was wrong with them. For someone to make light of a situation like that. Now, of all the afflictions known to man, by far the most prevalent has to be sin. Right? We don't often think of sin as a disease, but that's what it is. Webster's defines a disease as a particular destructive process in an organism with a specific cause and characteristic symptoms. Now, that is a description of sin. It is a particular destructive process. Sin is destructive. It always tears down. It never builds up. And it leads to death, which is fairly destructive. But it also has a cause. Rebellion against God is its cause. And it has characteristic symptoms. Unrest. Strife. Both within us and between us and other people. Just being one of those symptoms that come from sin. But it isn't just Webster's definition that points us to the similarities between a disease and sin. The Bible does that as well. Jesus says in Mark chapter 2, he says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous," in other words, the healthy, "but sinners, the sick." And the physical healings then that Jesus did were not only a powerful manifestation of the fact that he was God, but they were also a powerful message about what he had come to do, which was to take away the diseases that we couldn't cure. At the top of that list, of course, is sin. He is declaring his power, his healing power, to heal that which we cannot heal. And Scripture also tells us that sin not only is a disease, but it's not like acne or like athlete's foot or anything like that, but that it's terminal. Paul says in Romans 6 that the wages of sin is death. And James says basically the same thing in James chapter 1 when he says sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So sin is not only a disease, but sin is a disease of the worst kind. It kills you. And countless millions have already died from it. And countless millions more are dying from it right now. Some of whom are a stone's throw away from where we are. Some of whom maybe are even within the sound of my voice, who are dying from it. And given that sin is a disease and that it's terminal, and given the fact that many, some of whom we even know, are dying from it, why is it not troubling to us that they go on treating it with one home remedy after another? When I was on the internet looking for home remedies, I didn't see any that were designed to alleviate sin. But it wouldn't take us very long to think up a few. There are a lot of them. Even if people don't know that what they're suffering from is sin, even if they reject that notion out of hand, that what they're suffering from is sin, the way they act tells a different story. The mere fact that they are always attempting to treat the symptoms of sin proves that they are. They're always attempting to treat the pain that comes with sin. And that reveals the truth of their situation to those who should know. And while the pains associated with sin are many, the most basic pain associated with sin, I think probably one of the core pains associated with sin, one that so many other pains come from, is the pain of emptiness. When the disease of sin is present, God is absent. When the disease of sin is present in somebody's life, when they have the terminal case, God is absent. So the intimate relationship between God and people, which we were designed to have, which we were created to have, which was supposed to fill that space inside of us, isn't filled. And that brings pain. Sin brings emptiness. And because of emptiness, purpose is missing. Right? Purpose for my life is missing. And because purpose is missing, worth is missing. If I have no purpose, then what am I worth? And if worth is missing, then joy is missing. If I'm not worth anything, why should I be so happy? And even if people can't explain how all those things go together, even if they reject the notion that it has anything to do with sin, you don't have to look far to find people treating the pain of sin in any one of a number of ways. Wealth or possessions, they're a common enough home remedy, aren't they? One that we're all familiar with. It's kind of like holding your breath for the hiccups. Wealth or possessions for the emptiness of sin. Not only in acquiring the wealth, but in all the fun it is to go out and spend it. There are lots of people treating the emptiness of sin with the home remedy of acquiring and spending wealth. How about power? Power has been tried by many people too. And not only power in the boardroom sense of power, but how about the occult? Which is growing and growing, even here in Holland. Popularity is a common home remedy as well. The quest to be the most talented or the most beautiful or the most admired. Substance abuse would have to make the list with all the various substances that can be abused, not only drugs and alcohol, but food. And there would probably have to be a spot reserved for other kinds of addiction as well. Sexual addictions like pornography being at the top of that list. And anything else that seeks to bring pleasure as a way of killing the pain. So there are many ways that have been devised to try to alleviate the pain of the condition of sin. And they're being used all around us. And that would be funny. If they had some other kind of condition. It would be funny, except for their pain. It would be funny, except for the fact that even while they're trying one home remedy after another, they're dying. And the ones that they're trying are causing them more and more pain along the way. When I was reflecting on all of the home remedies that there are to cure something like acne, it occurred to me that the simple fact that there are so many of them says something. A couple things. And perhaps what it says, and what it says that there are so many home remedies to deal with the pain of sin, maybe what those things say to us will convince us not only to be troubled by it, but to do something about it. And the first thing that tells me, that the fact that there are so many of those remedies, is that people want out of their pain. They wouldn't be chasing after so many different home remedies. There wouldn't be that many different things to try. To try to alleviate the pain of acne unless people want it out. And there wouldn't be so many different things to try to alleviate the pain that sin brings unless people want it out. We often tell ourselves that people don't want out. Why should I talk to them? They don't want out. They might not know what they want out of, but they want out. That's why they're trying so many things to deaden the pain. But the second thing that it seems to say, this fact that there are so many different things available to try to get rid of that pain, is that there's no consensus on what the way out is. Everybody has the same problem. But there's no consensus as to how to deal with it. And so they try lots of different things to try to deal with it. But that seems to indicate to me one other thing, and I hope I can get this across. That there's no consensus on how to deal with it. And that because of that, they try so many different things. Either all of those things that they try must work equally well, and effective treatments for acne or for sin are everywhere to be found, or none of them work very well. Either all of them work well, and it's a very easy thing to treat, or none of them work well, and it doesn't matter which one you choose, you're going to be disappointed. But if all of them work so well, if an effective cure for sin was only as far away as the nearest liquor store or strip joint, or mall, then we wouldn't see people suffering from it, would we? If a cure was that easily attainable, we wouldn't see the effects of it in society. But we do. We see them growing and growing and growing. So that can't be it. It can't be that it's such an easy thing to treat. So it must be that it's not an easy thing to treat, and that you have to look hard to find a cure for it if you're going to find one. But then what accounts for the vast number of things that people are trying? Except that they haven't found that cure. You see, if one of them or two of them worked, then all the other ones would go away. But they don't. So the continued existence of the problem, of the pain of the problem, proves that a cure isn't easily attainable. And the vast number of things that people are trying proves that they haven't found one. Because if they had, everyone would be flocking to it. Now, when we try to come up with reasons why we shouldn't do something, about the way our friends or neighbors are trying to treat the pain of sin in their lives, with things that don't work, we will either tell ourselves that they really don't feel the pain of sin, and what good would it do for me to talk to them about it? But that can't be true, because if they're trying to treat it, they must feel it. Or we try to tell ourselves that they've already found something that seems to work for them. Oh, you know Bill. He's really into his cars. Or whatever it is. But that can't be true either. Because if a remedy were around, a home remedy, a do-it-yourself remedy, then everybody would be flocking to it. Because they all have the same condition. You see, we can't say, well, that works for him, and that works for her, and that works for... Because they all have the same thing. You don't treat the same condition with many different things. depending on who you are. So the people that we're thinking about, the people in our lives in that situation, it's not that they don't feel the pain because they're treating it. It's not that they've already found something to alleviate that pain because there is no home remedy to alleviate that pain. All we have to do is convince them that Jesus alleviates the pain and take them to Him. The extent of Jesus' ministry always went far beyond the ground that He walked on. And that's evident in our passage this morning. Right? He was in Galilee. News about Him spread. Pretty soon people were following Him from all over. Because people brought other people to Jesus. Now, 2 weeks ago, when we started this series, I said it was a series where we were going to try to reflect on the mission of God and how we are part of it. And we started out looking at the message of Jesus, right? Which was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. His message was turn around. To the people who were suffering, to people, many of whom are suffering at the hands of others, His message was turn around and repent. Because it's only in that process, you see, then that the emptiness gets filled, because it's only in that process that they become filled with Him. Right? That was the message of His mission. And then last week, we looked at the work of ministry, that the call of ministry is not just something that comes to a select few by some specially miraculous work of the Holy Spirit, but it's something that comes to each one of His disciples as they become filled with Him and are able to be poured out for Him. Remember? So you say, okay, fine. What does that have to do with me? How can He use me? What training do I need? Or how can He use me? I don't have any training. Well, He can use you, and He wants to use you to bring others to Him. And you already have what you need to do that job. If you have a belief in His healing power. If you believe that Jesus can heal the emptiness of sin because He did it in your life, then you have everything you need. Now, when I say bring them to Jesus, I don't mean bring them to faith. And that's what we normally think. And that's why we get so scared. I mean bring them to Jesus. Well, what does that mean? Well, where is Jesus? Where is He? Look for where He is and bring them to that place. One of the easy ways of answering that question is, where did I meet Jesus? Where did I meet Him? Did you meet Him at a Bible study? Then bring them to that Bible study. Did you meet Jesus at church? Bring them to church. So one of the ways of answering that question is to ask yourself where you met Him. And then bring them there. Or look around to see where you see evidence of Him, His love and His truth, and bring them there. And let Jesus and the power of the Spirit bring them to faith. The friends of these people did not bring the healing to the friends. They brought the friends to the healing. They brought the people to the one, the only one, who could do what they needed done. And he did it, not the friends. And wherever you bring them, at some point, they're going to be brought to the Word, right? The Bible study, or at church, or in your home. If Jesus is in your home, bring them there. But point them and bring them to Jesus. In answer to the question, essentially, in answer to the question, how do I love my neighbor as myself? Or what does it mean for me to love my neighbor as myself? And who is my neighbor? Jesus told one of his most famous stories, the story of the Good Samaritan. It's a story of a man who was attacked and beaten and left for dead along the road. It's a story of some very pious people who crossed over to the other side so that they wouldn't have to get close to his uncleanness and his pain. And it's the story of one man, a Samaritan, a man who knew about pain, who had compassion on him and bandaged his wounds and brought him where he could have help. Now, we normally think about that story in terms of our neighbor's physical needs. But what if we reflect on that story just for a moment this morning as we end, according to our neighbor's spiritual needs? How many people have you seen along the path that you've been walking on who have been beaten and left for dead, or in the language of a disease, are infected and dying? And why is it that God brought you along that same path? And what would you think of someone who had it within their power to bring a dying person where they could receive healing and decided not to? If you don't have compassion on those who are suffering from sin, then who will? The only reason that anyone has ever experienced, say that again. The only way that anyone has ever experienced the healing of Jesus, the healing power of Jesus, is because they were brought to him. You were brought to Jesus. I can guarantee it. Someone brought you. Freely, you have received. Whom will you bring? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you are the only solution. Lord Jesus, we've received you. We've received your forgiveness and your spirit. We've received your presence. We have received purpose. We have received worth. We have received joy. And we pray, Father, that you would use us, that you would place us along the path of someone who needs you, and that you would help us to bring them to you. And we trust you, Lord. We trust in your power and in your might, that you will do the rest. Answer our prayer, we pray, in your name. Amen.